This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Here we go. It's hour number three of the G-Bag Nation here on your home of the Cowboys 105 through the Fan. We're about to talk with a very special football guest. You could see him on our webcam at 105throughthefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. Has a very professional backdrop there with an excellent-looking bookshelf. He's ready for the big time. Mike Sando from The Athletic has published his annual quarterback tier rankings. NFL personnel weighing in on 30 veteran signal callers. And Mike Sando joins us now to talk more about it. Good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
So we obviously here in Dallas are never too far from a good debate of where you put Dak Prescott inside the top 10 or top 12. Where do you have Dak Prescott, and what would it take for him to be in the absolute top tier?
So the beauty of it, I don't have him anywhere because I pulled 50 coaches and executives in the league, and this is where they see them based on the criteria that's spelled out in the article. You can check that out on The Athletic, and you'll see how each tier is defined. But generally, tier one is the quarterback who can win with less around him, right? Mahomes would be the greatest example of winning it all twice in 19 and 22 without even having a good defense. So that's the elite standard. And then Dak comes in solidly in tier two. I feel like any quarterback in the top two tiers, you feel like you could probably get to the Super Bowl without having some miracle team, right? The 2000 Ravens defense or something. And then when you get into tier three, you're going to see some players that they probably get paid. You know, Tua, Trevor Lawrence has gotten paid. Kyler Murray. You hope they could do it, but you may need more around them, or they just haven't proven that they can do it over time, like somebody like Dak has. Dak is now pretty much the poster guy for what a tier two quarterback is. And the definition of the tier two quarterback is he carries his team sometimes. He handles the pure pass in doses, meaning pure passes when the defense knows you have to pass, right? We're out of our play action game and run game. It's really on you. So Dak's pretty good in the 2 minute, but not consistently as great as some of the tier one guys have been. Or some of these guys could possess another dimension that's special enough to elevate them above tier three. Sometimes you'd see the guy who's just a great runner, not a great passer, but that's enough to carry him into that second tier group. So Dak's been solidly there for years, and he gets a couple tier one votes here and there. But I think to get over that, it's what everybody's hoping happens there. It's why Jerry didn't re-up Mike, the head coach, right now is, hey, let's see it a little bit more when it matters in the playoffs. And maybe some of those times when he could put it on his back then and get him over the hump would elevate him further. But he's super solid right there, number nine overall.
Mike, did you find that that these evaluators and general managers and coaches and stuff that you talked to, did you find that he was the guy that the quarterback that they had the most problem with identifying where he needed to be? Or was it just really, as you say, so clear cut with, were there other quarterbacks that,
no, Aaron Rodgers
that people struggle with more?
No, he's super easy. So he got 37 of his votes were in tier two. Yeah. Four were in tier one. The remaining nine are in tier three. And that's just people who, probably have a little bit of a harder grading scale. Mm-hmm. There were some, when you do this, like I'll run through the 50 people in the panel. Some people will have very few ones. Like, so there's a few ballots where they just gave Mahomes the only one. Mm-hmm. So then they might have a different standard in their mind to where, when they get through, maybe their twos are Lamar and Herbert and Rodgers, and then they have a smaller group of twos, so Dak could get a few threes that way. But for the most part, I think the league agrees on what he is. He's a very good starting quarterback that you can win a lot of games with, who hasn't, despite having, you know, quite a pretty good team around him, hasn't gotten over the top the way he might if he was a notch or two better than he is.
So who was that quarterback that was getting the most, wide spectrum of different tiers? Was it perhaps Aaron Rodgers or somebody else?
It is Rodgers got votes in four different tiers.
Sure.
Which seems kind of ridiculous, but okay. If you give him a vote in tier one, you're saying, you know what? This guy's been tier one forever. I'll believe the decline when I see it. If you're tier two on Rodgers, you say, you know what? He's been tier one forever, but look, new team, coming off of an injury, his age is up there. I'm going to knock him down and we'll wait and see, make him prove it. Tier three would be, hey, look, I think this guy lost a step in Green Bay. I think he wasn't as good at the end. Now you throw in the age and all the other stuff he's got going on. I think he's going to be, you know, closer to a middle of the pack quarterback at this stage and declining fast. And there were only two tier four votes. Four is a little bit of a weird tier. It's either, you know, kind of a journeyman type guy. Think of a Ryan Fitzpatrick or a Gardner Minshew. They're fine, but you wouldn't want to go the whole year. Or there's not enough information. Usually that's for a young guy who's got five starts or something. But some people thought they didn't have enough information, a couple on Rodgers, because he just hasn't played for so long. And we don't know really how good and strong and healthy he's going to look. So definitely, I think he's one of the few guys to get in four categories. Jordan Love might have two, but Jordan Love got almost all twos and threes, whereas Rodgers had a pretty good distribution.
It's Mike Sando here of The Athletic. How about C.J. Stroud? You know, how strong is he coming on?
Rocketing. So I've been doing this since 2014. And like I said, I exclude rookies because, you know, the guys haven't seen him play. It's just be college evals. But Stroud coming in eighth overall, solidly in tier two, one spot above Dak Prescott, is the best debut for a second-year quarterback since I've been doing this. That's higher than Herbert, I believe, and some of the others who came in really strong. So, you know, people very impressed by him. He got 12 tier one votes. That's a lot for one season of starting. The next guy underneath him was Dak with four. So some of that, I wonder, you know, the expectations for Houston were so low. People thought their team was terrible going into the year. In retrospect, though, maybe their offensive line was pretty good. Maybe they actually had some good weapons. Maybe D'Amico Ryans knew what he was doing. Maybe Bobby Sloak was okay, right? But in our minds going in, you're just like, wow, this season was not what anybody expected, and that quarterback looked great. So this could be a case of him potentially, this is just my opinion, getting a little bit more of the credit than people typically do.
Mike, I'm going to change it on you a little bit. I think I saw you in Oxnard. You were there for a day in Oxnard for the
Cowboys?
Yeah,
I was there. Yeah.
You had a cord around you of everybody wanting to kiss the ring and stuff, so I couldn't get over to kiss your ring while you were there. Yeah. But I just wondered, observations, whispers, nuggets. I'm sure you're going to write about some stuff and talk about some stuff and all the podcast work and stuff. By the way, you and Randy Mueller were tremendous together. I loved your guys' podcast, and I love Randy. I think he's a hell of a guy, and I think you're right along there with him. Any nuggets or things that you can whisper to our Cowboys Nation people here that listen to us that you might have heard that we need to know about?
Oh, interesting. Do I have any hot rumors on the Cowboys?
You know, I saw you get led away to places that we're not allowed to go to, so I just thought maybe you'd know.
Well, it's funny. Let me tell you what I do when I go to these camps. Yeah. I am not somebody who comes there and asks people really deeply about their team. Sure. I'm working on league projects like this and other things around the league. And what I find is that's the types of conversations guys love to have. When you get in there and you get I can get guys to confide in me, but then I'm not going to go on a podcast and say exactly, you know, all the things that I think are going to happen. I do think it's an interesting place just because of, you know, Jerry being Jerry, and they've been such a good team for 3 years, but not getting over the hump, not doing a deal with your coach, the quarterback. I would presume he wants to be there and you'd think he'll get a deal done, but it's just a very interesting year. Just wait till there's a couple of losses or something. Sure. You know, it just feels like it's going to be a team where almost Jerry wants it. Like he's welcoming this storm that's going to come.
You think he wants the chaos?
Well, certainly he doesn't try to suppress
hide
the
from
chaos.
It. Yeah.
I mean, he stirs it up.
Yeah. He does.
Saw his little comments the other day.
Absolutely.
He's always stirring it up. He's always talking after the games, you know, that sort of a thing. I'll say this. I'm impressed with Prescott because a lot of these quarterbacks When they get in this situation, they're doing the hold ins and all that type of thing, which I get it. I'm not saying that's a bad strategy because it worked for these guys. But there's something I admire too about the guy who's going into the last year and he's there every day for his teammates and he shows up and he practices hard, says all the right stuff, you know. And that was notable to me, the type of thing you see happening at a camp that no one talks about. Like, he's just there. He's assumed he's going to be there, but that's not the way it is in Miami when Tua doesn't come in, or Green Bay where Jordan Love doesn't come in. So he's just handling this well, I think. I think Dak is handling this well. Maybe these both sides are just sort of at peace with the situation.
Sure.
Not that stressed out about it.
Yeah.
It's hard to believe that they wouldn't do a deal before the year, but what if they just agreed to, let's just see where it goes?
Yeah.
That would be interesting too, and be okay.
Mike, what has been the biggest objection from this tiers list? Who is there a fan base or a group of people that are frustrated by a particular ranking?
So, yes. Initially, a lot of media people kind of on Twitter and people, you know, fans too, thought that it was giving Burrow the benefit of the doubt to leave him in tier one when he's been banged up. And there's questions about how well he's going to be able to play because of the durability. So I didn't really see that coming. I think he's excellent. There's always good conversation around Lamar Jackson because he's a two-time MVP who has been really high in tier two, but because a certain segment of the voters, about half of them this year, think that when he has to pass the ball, it doesn't look good enough. And that is always a good conversation. There's a lot of conflicted voters who think he should be a tier one, but he's missing this component of tier one. So what do we do? I think that's interesting. And then notable to me is the top of tier three. If you look at the top of tier three is Tua, Trevor Lawrence, Kyler Murray, Deshaun Watson. And tier three is really legitimate starter, but not as much of a featured guy. You're going to probably want to run the ball, play defense, win with this guy, but real questions about whether you can get over the top. Those top four guys of Tua, Lawrence, Murray, and Watson, look at their salaries. That's a lot of money to be paying for guys that the league doesn't think are really in the upper echelon of quarterbacks. Amazing.
It is, man. It's really interesting, the economy of that position. And then before we go, obviously Cowboys, Eagles, top two picks in the division. What are your guys telling you about Jalen Hurts?
It's funny, you know, he didn't lose that much ground in tier two, but I felt like the conversation around him was more negative. It was one of the more negative conversations for someone who, you know, he was 10-1 last year. He's been to a Super Bowl and everybody admires the way he approaches the game. I mean, everybody thinks he's wired right, but there's real questions about, you know, people know that he has some limitations and they think that Shane Steichen was a huge part of making that work well for them. And so when he was there last year, it was chaotic a little bit. Now you bring in Kellen Moore. People think Kellen Moore's good, but they're not sure that he's a great fit for this quarterback because they think he's inclined to want to pass the ball a lot. And here they signed Saquon Barkley and they have a quarterback who's not going to have Jason Kelce. And they have a head coach who's a little bit on the hot seat in a place where it gets real noisy real quick. There's questions around the head coach. You bring in Vic Fangio on the defense. There's just a lot going on there. And so what's that offense going to look like? And is it going to be set up well for Hurts? Or did we see kind of the best of him maybe with that great team around him and Steichen being the right coordinator, right? I think there's a little bit of a fear that this thing peaked a little bit.
Sounds good to me. I think we'll drink to that down here. Mike Sando in The Athletic, thank you so much for your time, sir, we'll catch up with you soon.
Great. Thank you so much.
Cheers. Yes, there it goes. A great piece there you can read in The Athletic, his annual QB tier rankings. Everybody looks forward to him, Chief.
Heck yeah. That's fantastic, dude. That's what you want to see. When you get the opinions from around the sport, that's a true serum.
Yeah.
I think he gave you something you need to pay attention to.
What's that?
About Jerry and
that he likes it. Yeah.
Not that he likes it, but that your quarterback's comfortable.
The
front office is comfortable.
Yeah.
He told you something that he got when he was at camp.
Hmm. Okay.
I trust me, when I watch these dudes, I watch how they move.
Yeah.
You know, I saw the
gait.
I saw the direction he was going and things that he was getting to do and stuff like that. So he's not
more optimism that Dak's back than after hearing something like that.
No,
Not or less.
Less.
Oh, okay.
Just what he said.
Oh, okay.
He said Dak's comfortable doing what front office might be comfortable. I think he's
comfortable with splitting up.
I think he's walking you down a path that that might be.
So it reinforces our current beliefs already.
I think. Very interesting. Just an observation, just for what he said. I don't think he wanted to tell you much, but I think he told you something.
Hey, you got the scout's eye, not me. Yeah.
Top 10 at 420 coming up next. Chief, where are we taking it?
Week one of college football, ladies and gentlemen. It's here. We also have the Michigan scandal documentary that's out. So I have the top 10 strangest scandals in college football history for you next year in the nation.
Welcome back, Nation. Time now for the top 10 at 420. A busy day for the Cowboys. We'll bring you the very latest here coming up at 4:40, 15 minutes away from the Cowboy stories of the day. But it's time now for the top 10. Chiafalo in for Woolchuck's broadcast responsibilities, and it's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you're hurt in an accident due to somebody's negligence, call the Frankels for a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go to frankelfirm.com. It's also brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. And here's the Chief.
Thank you very much. 877-881-1053. College football scandals. When you think of college football scandals, where do you go? I know Jared is going to be talking about his USC Trojans. He's in studio with us now, and with the Reggie Bush stuff, the Heisman. You know, that was a big scandal for sure. But there's been some pretty interesting ones over the years. We have the Connor Stallions Michigan scandal documentary just dropped today on Netflix. Week one of college football. So it was kind of perfect timing to go ahead and bust this out. I got some college football news for you as well, but I did want, if you don't mind, if you're looking at the fan cam right now, this is the place you want to be, Twitch and YouTube, because we have a high school football star that we need to address. This guy is it's Ishmael Ayala. He's 5'7". He's 315 pounds.
Ooh.
5'7", 315 pounds, but this dude is a unit of nothing but athleticism.
He's chiseled 315?
375 pounds on the bench. Dude over 500 pounds on the squat, and he's going viral. His game one highlight clip was just him living in the backfield, and his build is incredible. He had two sacks and a TFL with five tackles in week one. Look at that build, number 79. He is 5'7", 315 pounds. I feel like the Cowboys could use him in place of Mozzie right now. Like, this is the type of, like, the future's bright for this kid. At 5'7", 315, I don't think we've ever seen a build like this.
No, and I imagine he's a terrific fat athlete. You know, some of these guys can just have the gut pouring out from underneath their jersey.
Right.
But they got a motor, and they got a wheelhouse of power.
Explosiveness.
Yes. And it's impressive when you see it.
Yes.
So I don't think that's D1 talent right there, but I think a D2 or D3 school is going to be happy to snatch him up.
Hobart College will grab him.
Yeah.
With the bounce house and the out in the...
He's like a Pennsylvania kid.
Oh, is he?
And whoever he plays for is Mifflin, because on the front of the jersey, it's Mifflin. Mifflin number 79, the most interesting body shape in high school football history.
In the office, wasn't that the name of the company that they
yeah. Dunder Mifflin, I think.
Mifflin. Yeah. So okay. I mean, he's from the city of the office.
You sure you're not getting ball sacked?
I'm not getting ball sacked. I actually saw this from Ross Tucker, because he's like, this is near my hometown or something.
Ross is
and
a
this guy's
Pennsylvania guy.
He loves this kid. He's the one who kind of made him go viral over the weekend. Yeah. Because he's a high school athlete built like that, making plays, and it's in the hometown of Ross Tucker. So he sent this kid to the stratosphere, wanted to show him some love. Now, elsewhere, college football-wise, I thought this was pretty nice here from the University of Miami head coach Mario Cristobal, who is synonymous with losing games for his team because he doesn't know how to manage the clock at the end of games. At least once, if not twice, upwards of three times a year, he will take a 4- and 5-star laden roster and single-handedly lose football games for them on their behalf. But what he's done now this year is he has identified the problem all these years later. He's late to the party, but he's done it. He hired a clock management coach for
himself.
There
you go. Yes.
Charlie Weiss.
This is where we go. Charlie Weiss is still probably collecting checks from Notre Dame.
He is. He just got let go of Sirius Satellite Radio.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah, they've had enough of him.
You've been watchdogging his career, haven't you?
I have, because he was getting paid by three different entities.
I believe it, dude.
Notre Dame, and the Sirius Satellite people.
These coaches want to act like they got control of everything. It's just impossible to manage all of that and pick the right play and know the math in the back of your head and be able to motivate, you know, your quarterback, whoever needs a pep talk. There's just too much crap going on.
A lot of crap going on, man.
This should be step one.
Did he do it after he lost that game against Georgia Tech?
Well, I think that was the...
he had to do was kneel the ball.
All he had to do was kneel it.
And he lost.
He runs it. His guy fumbles it. Yeah. It's a turnover. Georgia Tech scores, and Miami loses the football game. It's as bad as it gets.
Georgia Tech's coaches were taking their headsets off when all this was going on.
Yeah, fans were leaving the building. Yeah. It was bad. I do think that's the worst of it as it pertains to him losing games for his team. And there was another one that was pretty bad last year that happened to him as well. But, yeah, I think on the heels of that, and listen, it's taken till now to do it. He had all off season. It wasn't like he snapped his fingers and made this happen. But, hey, at least he's got the self-awareness finally to realize this is not my forte. And there's a bunch of coaches in the NFL that should be doing this. We got get-back coaches, right? We got get-back coaches. Why not have a, hey, here's what you should do right now based on the clock that it's hard to prepare for? Because the variables of everything are so unique, and being able to make that decision is tough. And guys perpetually botch it. Why not have a clock coach?
We have stretching coaches. We have nutrition coaches. There is just so much port going on in these coaches.
Quality control coaches.
You got assistants to the assistants is what you got now in the NFL. God forbid a coach can figure out how to use the clock, right?
I'd have a full staff. I'd have at least three guys on this.
Five analytics guys and gals. Let's go for it.
Yeah. Well, we also have news here. I'm sure Carter's pretty excited about this. Oklahoma football's newest tradition, blasting Toby Keith through the stadium. RIP, the late, great Toby Keith.
How do you like me now?
Sing-along style between the third and fourth quarters. So I don't know if they've chosen the exact song yet that they're going to choose. Maybe Carter, if you know, but like Florida has the Tom Petty song.
Tom Petty won't back down.
You have the Wisconsin Jump Around. You have the Virginia Tech Sandman. You have the LSU.
Calling Baton Rouge.
That's not the vulgar one.
No, that's that's Neck.
Neck. That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. I guess they have a couple. But their band's pretty impressive.
We get fined for playing Neck.
And talking out the side of your neck. But they flipped it,
They flipped it.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate. Yeah. But I don't know. Does Carter, do we know what Toby Keith's song it's going to be? Or is it just going to be he's shaking his head no back there? He doesn't know.
Who's your daddy?
College football
expert
guy.
Who's your daddy?
There you go.
Yeah, after we beat you, we play Who's Your Daddy.
I like that.
Who's your baby?
Yeah,
who's your lover? Who's your man?
Boom. That's the one. Yeah.
How do you like me now? I think would be better maybe, huh?
That one's solid.
Like no, yeah.
This sounds like Baby Dolls right here, y'all. I'm telling you. Baby Dolls Dallas.
Gentlemen, all shots, $1.50. Grab your favorite waitress. On the back two stages, we've got
Porsche to the stage.
All these dudes went to the same school for this voice. All topless bar guys went to the same school for the voice of how they handle it.
Oh, yeah. Glenn over there?
Yeah.
He taught the class.
Yeah. Yeah, they all go out and they talk to each other.
He taught the class.
Yeah. Somebody tip that B word.
Yeah.
Somebody makes a noise.
Well, speaking of baby dolls and whatnot, we do have the 10 strangest scandals in college football history. And let's just be honest. We know the pole assassin is going to make an appearance
here. Shaving points somewhere. College football?
I'm sure. I mean, pull out all the stops because there's much more than just what I have in front of me here.
Did Arizona State do something one time?
Arizona State?
Probably did.
I mean, we're talking college football. We could do like into eternity list forever of just for the rest of time, we could rattle off college football scandals.
Army. Number one's probably your dad and them, though.
I'll tell you what, my dad and them are proud of what they did, Dawson. Don't you
forget? With the Aggies?
Yeah. Yeah, my dad.
Going toe-to-toe with SMU.
I asked Eric Dickerson. He was close to going to A&M.
Yeah.
He was close. Not enough money from the Ags.
Sure took that car.
Your dad goes, wait, what are we going to turn ourselves in, you idiots?
You schmoes.
He looked at his buddies and all kind of like,
let's tell on them.
Yeah, you're right, Larry.
They stole Dickerson from us.
Exactly.
That's our Trans Am.
That's what dad goes. Dad goes, you clowns.
That's incredible, dude.
We bought him the car. I mean, what do you want to turn us?
That's just wonderful.
Yeah. That was a day, man.
Yeah.
That was the day.
Well, we do have the Michigan scandal and the Connor Stallion stuff. That's on this list right now that we'll get to here.
Can't wait to see this.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing it as well. The early reviews are that dude was lying throughout the entire documentary on stuff that we've already got confirmed through the NCAA and things like that, and just like photo evidence of stuff that he's done. But
they gave him a ring at Michigan National.
I don't know if he got a ring, but I do know that at one point he got a game ball for all the cheating he did to beat Iowa. I guess in 2002 he gets a game ball for it. So that's a big one. You have Hugh Freeze at number 10 using the work phone to solicit the old prostitutes when you're in Tampa and you're working for Ole Miss. That'll get you bleep canned.
I see where you're going for
That'll get you bleep canned. Yeah.
Did a Washington State coach? They got the Alabama job. What was our guy up there at Washington State up in the Toulouse?
Oh, Mike Price.
Mike Price.
Is comes in at number 9.
Yes.
Yeah, good pull.
Okay, I see where this is going.
Yeah.
He lied about his resume or something?
No, that's going to be George O'Leary, Notre Dame. That's right. Going to be on this list too.
Mike Price at number 9. He's dropping hundreds of dollars at a Pensacola.
He's at Pensacola.
Strip club.
Yeah, he's like, yeah.
Heads back, spends a bunch of money at the hotel with some ladies, and then Alabama finds out he's fired before coaching a single game, and of course had to punt on his 7-year, $10 million deal.
Yeah.
Dang.
That was back in like 2003.
He was awesome at Washington State, too.
The Toulouse?
He was the real deal.
Palouse.
I said it wrong. The Toulouse. Palouse.
Well, at number 8, we get the pole assassin story, which we're very familiar with here, 2021, special teams coordinator for Texas.
Lucy, she's a looker, right?
That's the homie. Be respectful.
They just got married.
Yeah.
But they really made it honest.
Really good athlete, right?
Strong as hell, man.
Yeah.
Like a real athlete.
Like a real gymnast type athlete. Yeah.
Exactly. Amazing upper body strength. Core strength is crazy. Yeah.
And unfortunately, the pole assassin, a.k.a. Danielle Thomas, in a lawsuit filed by a family of a child who was allegedly bitten by a monkey at a haunted house that Banks had set up in his backyard for Halloween.
Danielle.
Makes this one the 8th most ridiculous scandal in college football history. That one was pretty crazy. But those two are still together and married now.
Married.
So, I mean, that's as true love as anything you'll ever see. At 7, you have, of course, the Ohio State tattoo scandal. One of the dumbest, most ridiculous ones.
Is that with Pryor and those guys?
Yeah, this was Terrell Pryor. And
giving Rose Bowl gear for tattoos. And
yes.
It was like a federal offense that needed to be prosecuted to the full extent.
Was that the gold pants? They were giving up, like, the jewelry and stuff, too?
Yeah,
you got gold pants for beating Michigan or something like that, and they...
That might have been a part of this one as well.
I think they're a part of that.
But they had 5 players suspended, including Terrell Pryor. They brought the hammer down, the NCAA did.
Yeah.
And then they found other things where players were getting cars and stuff like that. Jim Tressel tried to cover it up. It was kind of a bad deal.
Mm.
So that comes in at number 7. At number 6, you have the Jameis Winston crab legs. Now, he's since come out and been like, hey, just to be honest with you, like, I didn't steal those. My boy worked at Publix. Yeah. I'm Jameis Winston. He wanted to hook me up.
Yeah.
But at the time, with the way the NCAA worked, if that would have been, it's actually better to be Jameis Winston stealing the crab legs than Jameis Winston being gifted them for free based on the NCAA and their ridiculous rules. So it was like $32 worth of crab legs, whatever. But that one was definitely...
That's a deal, man.
That was a big one.
Crab legs are expensive nowadays.
They are. Yeah. They have Connor Stallions at 5 with the Michigan scandal.
My favorite Jameis Winston situation is the lunchroom when he jumped on top of the lunchroom table.
Oh, my gosh.
Motivating the whole lunchroom.
He's funny, dude.
Yeah, he's hilarious.
He is great.
He is, man. He is incredible. He was wild. He did. He stood up on that table and just yelled out one of the most obscene things you could yell out there in a moment like
that. How did that go viral?
Oh, my gosh. That was crazy. Let's see. People are texting in. The 214 mentions Najee Davenport while at the University of Miami dropping a deuce in a girl's hamper in her dorm room closet. Yeah, that's a pretty strange one right there. I wonder what type of suspensions or whatever he got. The Mike Leach stuff.
What did he use a wife with? Sock or something like that? Maybe one of her favorite t-shirts?
I was going to say a favorite t-shirt would get the job done there as well. Mike Leach stuff. At Texas Tech, one was crazy. Texting that one.
That was with our guy Craig James' son, right?
Yes.
Had a concussion. Yeah, just sit in the closet for 8 hours.
Go in the shed.
Like a shed. Dark place. Get in there.
Go in the shed.
In the heat of Lubbock's August temperatures. That is a pretty funny one, but bad at the same time.
Oh, my.
You have the Wake Forest, the WikiLeaks.
WikiLeaks?
WikiLeaks. Where the coach is an assistant coach, and he ends up getting demoted, and then he ends up just being a broadcaster for the team, and then he starts giving away strategies to opposing teams.
Oh, that's right.
To spite the coach that didn't want him on his staff
anymore. That's right.
So that was definitely a big one. The WikiLeaks is what it was.
WikiLeaks.
And then you have here, the Toomer's Corner.
Oh, Oaks, the guy, Alabama, tried to kill the tree.
The Auburn, the Alabama guy.
He called in the Feinbaum.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Ratted himself out. Big Alabama fan after tag. Auburn beat him in the Iron Bowl.
Yeah.
Went and
tried to kill the trees.
Yeah. He diseased them.
What's that?
Did they save the trees?
Yeah.
No, it led to all the trees had to be cut down.
Yeah. No.
Yes. Yes. All the trees had to be cut down.
I thought it was a disease. I thought they were okay with it.
$800,000 worth of restoration, but he only paid $7,000 before he ended up dying.
Yeah.
Because he was an old man. Rabid college football guy.
Roll Tide.
Bobby Petrino, motorcycle accident. One of the funniest press conferences ever, where he's wearing a neck brace. He's got scrapes all over his face.
I believe he had his head slammed against the curb a couple of times.
But number one, of course, is Manti Te'o in the fake.
Oh, man.
There it is.
I was waiting for TCU to show up. But they moving weight for a minute back in 2012.
Yes.
They were moving weight.
That was a weird one. That was a bad one. Yeah. See, we could do this all day with college football scandals.
And how's the Johnny Manziel signing everything not in there?
Yeah, dude, that should have probably made the top 10. There's a lot, man. There's a lot.
Busy day for the Cowboys today. Will they bring in another runner? Who was the surprise veteran cut? We'll do that, then get an addition of the finest, and before too long, we'll be into the expressway here. It's the G-Bag Nation of the Fan. Thank you, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on the Fan. Football's finest is coming up here at 5 o'clock, but it was a big day in the NFL as cutdowns were due at 3 o'clock, and the Cowboys made a number of moves. Malik Davis is out of here. Is that a decision they'll end up regretting, Brian?
I don't think so. There might be a thought that they that might not even bring him back on the practice squad.
Wow.
That's just some whispering going on. I mean, hey, I could be, just talking to some people that they think, we might be just moving on from that one.
Yeah, it's a tough situation. I don't think there's a great answer at running back, but I just feel like you got some old guys, you got a really short guy, and at least he fits the profile, and he's young. I wouldn't be in a hurry to get rid of any of those guys.
If Rico Dowdle, if you knew he would stay healthy,
that'd be great.
That would be a great. That would you. I think your running game would be okay with him running the ball, but they're going to try with Zeke. And kind of see how that goes, and maybe it'll get to the point where they just, when they did it, they did the same thing with Tony Pollard.
Yeah,
remember, all of a sudden Zeke started kind of slowing down a little bit, and what they do is start playing Tony Pollard more.
I mean, one guy's injury prone, one guy's old, one guy's too small. I would not be surprised at all if they need to make a move for another running back before the NFL trade deadline. They did officially sign Linval Joseph, right?
They did.
Okay.
They did. So I thought there would be a little roster gymnastics maybe that they wait till tomorrow. And they kept CeeDee Lamb on the commissioner's exempt list, which buys them some time. So they by him signing this late or agreeing to a contract this late, he gets a roster exemption for it used to be for 4 or 5 days, but I mean it might be longer now. So maybe next week we'll see that signing come official.
The Cowboys have traded one of the Nosebleed Boys' favorites, Peyton Hendershot, who really, brought the Hoochie Daddy shorts early. He was one of the early adopters there, but he has gone to the Kansas City Chiefs. Nick Harris reported the conditions of the trade. The Cowboys receive a 7th pick in 2026. If Hendershot is on the 53-man roster for 5 games this season, or Hendershot's on the 46-man game day roster for 3 games this season.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure what the Chiefs' depth chart looks like, but I feel like with their lack of wide receivers, with Kelce getting old, they're going to like his ability to, get open, have a little bit of flair, score some touchdowns. I would not be surprised at all if Peyton's career makes a turn for, a better times there in Kansas City. If it wasn't just for some drops last year, I don't think he would have fallen out of favor with the Cowboys. He was very promising his rookie year.
Yeah, it's funny. Something happened you know, along the way that that he went from being kind of the guy that everybody was, you know, happy he was here. And then he got banged up a little bit and maybe his attitude was not as good as it needed to be. And yeah, there were some things that they were kind of going through with that, you know, working through with him. And he came back. There were times in camp he didn't look bad. And you felt like he was making a push. But the fact that they took Span forward over him, that probably tells you the writing was on the wall there.
What do you think about this trade idea? Bill Barnwell, ESPN, says the Cowboys are a logical landing spot for Jets receiver Alan Lazard if he is traded here around this cutdown day. Currently owed $10 million for the 2024 season. Do you think they're looking for a third wide receiver right now, Brian?
I don't believe so. No, they're happy with what they have with Tolbert and Brooks and I mentioned that
Turpin, Flournoy.
It was an incredible push that Flournoy made to get himself on this roster because he was looking square down the, hey, well, we're probably going to have to cut you and maybe bring you back on the practice squad. And, you know, he rallied, he got healthy, and then he took off. He had some really good practices, good work against the Rams, and then the preseason games he was able to show up.
How much did they show as far as getting Turpin involved in the passing game?
Not much, you know. I mean, you could see the stuff when they practiced how it was. They get down the red zone, and for a shorter guy, him and Cooks, they have a. Hey, there's my guy Elliot Wolf. I used to babysit that guy, the GM for the. But they're showing the Patriots right now. But yeah, with Turpin, you know, it's going to be. They were looking at getting Deuce Vaughn involved. You know, the wide receiver stuff, the slot stuff.
Dude, if they can't tap into Turpin, I mean, I thought they did a decent job last year, and hopefully that role expands to, like, I understand if he's not your down-in, down-out wide receiver three,
right.
But that dude has shown he can catch the ball. He can be a guy that can...
He's explosive.
...break a game sort of open a little bit. So, gosh dang it, they better get him involved here.
Well, they've got two of them now. They've got two guys that they need to kind of try and incorporate into the scheme, and both of them are smaller guys.
This time next year, are we going to be talking about Jalen Tolbert as the number two wide receiver on this team with Brandon Cooks as a free agent?
I think so. There's a lot of things with Turpin that made – I was not sure what his mental toughness – I thought
with
him –
Tolbert?
Tolbert, yeah. I thought him and Brooks were going to go at it, and they were neck and neck until like about the third, fourth practice, and then all of a sudden Tolbert just showed the ability to make more plays. He practiced well every day. You could see him winning on routes. I was worried about him just maybe getting tired, getting sore, not concentrating. Nah, he battled through everything they asked him to do. He deserves his spot that he's gotten. And hopefully he'll be a contributor to what they're doing.
Coming up at 5:20, we have ESPN's quarterback confidential piece. 103 players rank the league anonymously. Some fascinating takeaways and quotes from that story. That's coming up at 5:20. In addition to the finest is next, Eric, what you cooking with?
10 things we learned from the NFL preseason, including multiple takeaways from around the NFC East. That's next year in the nation.